Hey, Arlene.
Yeah.
Our old pal Jason Byrne is here.
Yay!
Welcome back to Edinburgh, Jason.
I know, I'm always, just always here.
And you came in by bike this morning.
Yeah, so I came in by bike, and actually it was, you know, a good Scottish reaction from the receptionist who said, oh, you're very brave.
Go out on a bike in Edinburgh, you're a brave man.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, something we don't think about is when all of these acts come to Edinburgh, it's quite an expensive thing. You're living here, you're working here. A lot of people aren't earning a huge amount of money. And to get about, bike is the best way.
Bike is the best way. And like, let's say, for example, I'm staying up by the Meadows there and I had to get over to the ICC and then down to here, and the quickest way is for me to get a bike. So when I arrive into Edinburgh, first thing I do is drop myself into the house, and then I'll go right down to the bike shop and try and buy a bike, because you've only got 2 days to buy to hoover up the bike, especially the second hand bikes. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So you've only got that. It's because all the acrobats, all the fit acts, all of them, they have no money. Definitely. Because there's about 40 of them in the show. Like, I was hosting the gala the other night there in the Assembly Hall, and there was people, coming in, tumbling, and, you know, there was a Korean group. Mm-hmm. There must have been 30 of them. They don't have any money.
No, so they're not going to earn a lot.
No,
from
so
this,
they need.
They?
So they can't be getting taxis everywhere. Do you know what I mean? So they're going to need. And you'll see them with the bikes.
So do you buy the bike? You actually buy a bike.
Yeah, you buy a bike and then you sell it back.
Oh, okay.
It's so Irish.
Yeah, but these trapeze acts and acrobats and stuff, you can just buy one bike and the rest will just pile on their shoulders.
And one wheel. Just
down
one
the
wheel.
High street.
One wheel.
So Soul Cycles is the name of the shop where you bought your
bike. Oh, yeah. Done, lads.
That's the one at Tollcross.
And they're brilliant. And that's it. Yeah, those guys. And then, so you buy the bike, and then if it's in good condition, they'll buy it back.
So how much do you lose on it then? So if you bought it for, I don't know, 200 quid, how much are you going to sell
it? About 100.
Okay, you lose about half of it.
Yeah, you go 50-50. It's the same. It's like it's mad. It's like rental stuff. Yeah. You're better off buying stuff instead of renting it.
Can't you just bring it up from Ireland?
Bring it from Ireland?
Yeah, bring your bike.
Bring a bike.
Yeah. I came in Ryanair.
Oh.
That'd probably
cost you a fortune for a bike
like
in
50
Ryanair.
Grand. Be like going, so you want to bring a what? Your child barely gets on those planes. Do you know what I mean? And I had to bring over loads of props because my show is called Propped Up, and I had to bring over loads of stuff, so I didn't have room for the bike.
So what kind of props have you brought with you then, apart from the bike?
That you got on a Ryanair.
Yes. Well, I'm basically going to... I'll tell you the props, and everybody will have to come to the show to glue them all together. So I've got a giant Gwyneth Paltrow head. I've got smaller Gwyneth Paltrow heads on sticks. I have a Chris Martin head on a stick. I have rubber ducks, fake owls, duck collars, L collars... xylophones, horses' heads, and
so what
heads
on sticks and stuff.
It's hard to explain. Well, I can't really tell you because it'll ruin everything.
Oh, okay.
But people can come along. Like last night, right? There was a group called Chef that came on. They were the Koreans, and they were singing and breakdancing and dressed as chefs and waitresses, and it was people loved it. But as I said, with this festival, like I said, does anybody know what that was all about? And people are going, no. And I said, did you enjoy it? And they went, yeah, loved it. But that's the nature of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
It lets you try loads of stuff, and the audience are great for that.
Now, I don't want to upset you here, but you are considered a veteran.
I know, that's it.
Was it 22 years, is it?
21.
21 years.
21 years. Wow. I mean, I remember when you came fresh-faced and spotty from Ireland, this young, new, emerging talent, and here you are.
I know.
Does it feel weird? And how has Edinburgh and the Fringe for you changed over the years?
Well, Edinburgh, it's because, I mean, I still do walk the same steps, you know, do the same hills. Edinburgh, as a city, as we know, is ancient, and that has no interest in people. Do you know what I mean? So people fade away and die, and Edinburgh stays as it is.
Yeah.
And for thousands of years, that's just been the way it's been. Do you know what I mean? And we just come in and just visit it. But as opposed to the festival, it's always been as big as... I think it's always been as big as it has been. I mean, it's just something like 3,500 shows a day now. That has to be... It couldn't have been that big when we started.
No.
But what's happened is... I suppose the telly aspect, do you know what I mean, is bigger now. Like when we arrived here, we like Johnny Vegas, Tommy Tiernan, Jimmy Carr was there, all of us, we'd all be in this one place in Cowgate, which burnt down. Do you remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
It was the original, Gilded Balloon, wasn't it?
Oh, so it was, yeah.
But we all met there. There was only one place to meet. And then we'd all do Late and Live and stuff and all just die in our arses.
Yeah.
And we had no interest in telly or anything. We didn't know. We were just and all of us just thought we'd be going back to our real jobs eventually. And so we were just running around going, this is a great crack.
Yeah.
So and it's now, sort it's, of... now it's a kind of more of a serious business, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. a lot of money can be made out of it. So that's so right. you'll see loads of up-and-coming comics. Right. Like, because years ago, loads of people didn't try it because they didn't see any kind of lucrative stuff in it. So they weren't going to go, I'd love to do that just for the crack. Right? Because yeah. I started doing it because a mate of mine actually got me, we were at this gig and there was a joke competition and I won the joke competition from this audience. See, you had to write it down. And then my mate said to the guy who was the booker, oh, he wants to do stand-up. And I went, no, I don't. And he says, yes, you do. And I don't want to do stand-up. So I got five gigs, five open spots I had to
off
do.
Off the back of one joke. What was the joke? Do you remember?
Yeah. It's not going to make any sense to you. It was, what's the difference between Mary McAleese and Eamon de Valera, who was both, they were presidents of Ireland.
Oh, right.
And I said, my mum doesn't live next door to Mary McAleese, right? And that was the joke, right? And it was no, didn't mean, but the thing is that Eamon de Valera is dead a long time. And that was the kind of weird gag twist on it. But the Barry Murphy, the MC, just loved that it was just nuts. And that was it.
So I'm glad you've developed as a comic.
Yeah, you mean
your stuff's better nowadays.
Yeah, you mean like as in rubber ducks and big fake hands and what have you? Yeah,
and heads on sticks.
Oh man, I think it's just yeah. And my you have to do a new show every year, you know. But I love that anyway. That's fine. I'd get bored, all right. So I love bringing it out.
Jason Byrne is here on the show.
Oh,
and Jason's
you.
Show Thanks. Is on at 9 o'clock at the Assembly up on the Mound. It's called Propped Up. Lots of preps, lots of stuff on sticks, heads and that. Big Gwyneth Paltrow heads and small ones.
Yeah. Basically, the thing is here, if Gwyneth finds out what I'm doing, I'm dead. Do you know what I mean? Chris is too yoga and too zen. He won't mind.
She will consciously uncouple you from something else.
Well, she'll come down and she'll flick that dust stuff that she eats into my drink. Do you know that stuff? Have you seen that stuff that she promotes?
No.
Yeah, Google it. Everybody can Google it after. It's dust. It's like angel dust. Well, it's not angel. Well, is that a drug? Doesn't matter. It's like dusty stuff. It's like
dust.
A vitamin thing or something. That
she could
puts.
Come round to my house. She could have a 3-course meal in my place. Hey,
you're on fire this morning.
She is in a great mood.
Now, you're also going to be doing Fourth on the Fringe for us tomorrow night at the Playhouse there, which is a little sort of condensed bit of your show. And we're going to be hosting it. And we're not comedians. We don't pretend.
Oh, yeah,
but
she's
on
funny.
Fire. But
yeah, no, you did great.
But what advice would you give to people who maybe are thinking about a career in comedy and they're thinking, I could give that a shot? You know, especially local people in Edinburgh, they see this amazing festival and fringe in their city. What advice would you give to them? Where's a starting point for some
Well,
stand-up?
A great one. I can tell you how not to, if you don't, like, if you think you can and then just stop, so don't even bother.
Okay.
Is if your mates say to you and to anybody else going, oh, they're hilarious in the pub, you want to hear them telling stories in the pub, they're going to be rubbish at stand-up. Don't let them near the mic.
Why?
Because they don't understand. So they think they're funny, right, with their mates. So they're, this happened to me anyway. So they're like, they're going, oh my God. I'm going, oh my God, you're hilarious. Oh my God. Because stand-up is like, it's like acting. You have to perform and act out the piece. You can't just tell it. And so I did a gig. Right, first of all, I was emceeing a gig in Ireland and this open spot was ready to come on and all his mates were there because he was hilarious, right? This guy's deadly. And I went, ladies and gentlemen, what was it? It was like Trevor O'Neill, right? Trevor O'Neill. Trevor O'Neill. He's gone. He's just gone.
Oh, he's liked it. He's liked it.
Yeah, he just went, no. So... And what happened to me was one of the first gigs I did, all my friends and family went and I stormed it. Mm-hmm. And they're going, oh, brilliant, brilliant. And the second I just died on my arse because I didn't know anybody. Right. And they're looking at me going, I don't care who you are. Come on.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
So it's you'll find a lot of the comics come from quite a quiet background, like they keep themselves to themselves. And in school, it would be the more intelligent fella, not me, but like, you know, sitting at the back there, just taking down notes and watching people and then flying it out. They're not normally hey, like that, you know. So
who makes you laugh? Who do you admire?
Oh, I probably, oh God. Well, years ago, I mean, I draw nearly all my stuff from Tommy Cooper. Do you know what I mean? Which is, he's gone now. But I mean, him and all the old school, Spike Milligan and Kenny Everett and all them, they're all the ones I would have watched. So they kind of created me in that sense, where that's why I do silly, just fun comedy, because I just love all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And then now, I don't know. I mean, I was always a comedy fan. So I can't really single them out because they all have their own. So like Jimmy Carr's a brilliant, you know, one-liner. Right, writer, and then Tommy Tiernan's a brilliant storyteller, and Dara Brin's great at that as well, and thinking on his feet and stuff. And then Daniel Kitson is amazing at just creating brilliance in a room. Do you know what I mean? A great story, like all one big story. So they all, it's very different. It's hard to pick out one. You know?
It's actually nice to talk to you because you know how sometimes you interview a comedian and. Apart from the stuff they do on stage, because it is an act, as you've said, they have nothing to say for themselves. Yeah, they're quite insular and introverted, and they just have nothing to say. And it's like, come on, make me laugh.
It's like when Ricky Gervais does gigs. Ricky doesn't want to see the audience. He just wants a room in total darkness. And I just go, why? He goes, I don't want to know they're all in it. I don't want to see them. Do you know what I mean? Because he feels like he's on his own. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that happens when you do a gig. A lot of time you can't really see the audience. I mean, my room, I like to see a little bit of them so I get the bounce off the stage. But a lot of time, no, they don't want to see them. They don't want to talk to them.
So how many years do you think you're going to keep coming back? Are you going to make it to 40, 50
I don't know.
Years?
Well,
Arthur, you're still a young lad, aren't you? How old are you now?
44 now.
Right, okay,
which is like if I met me, when I came here, I wouldn't even talk to me. And the reason why I wouldn't talk to me was because I cycle, I run. I've just been to the gym to book in some stuff with me mate Kerr Strachan, who's a brilliant coach. And we're doing, it's like animal movement, body movement stuff. It's like that. That's what we did because I'm too old for your stuff. All this crap and jiu-jitsu, right? Okay. And if I met myself, I'd be going, Kim, what are you doing? Come on over here and have a smoke and have a drink and you start running around everywhere.
Yeah. So it's not like the party lifestyle it used to be?
No, I can't do that. I hate being hungover trying to do a show. It really annoys me, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, you have to be careful because if you storm a show, like a lot of comics, if you have a great show, you feel like, oh my God, I have to have a drink. And you celebrate as if it's the last show you'll ever do in your life. And then the next night you're like, oh no.
Yeah. At least you've got until 9 o'clock the next night to try and get over it.
Yeah,
so you've
absolutely.
Got a bit of time.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love it. It's like Edinburgh's like my training ground. Yeah. So here I am.
And what else are you going to do? You're doing some stuff on TV as well.
Oh,
and,
yeah. So we have.
Going on tour at the end of the year or keeping going on tour after Edinburgh?
Right. So I wrote a book, okay, and that's called. The Wonky Eyed Boy. God, I'm trying to remember everything. It's called The Wonky Eyed Boy, and that's about me from the age of 5 to 15 growing up in Ireland. So that's coming out in September. So that is what an achievement. I never thought I'd ever write a book. I'm not joking here. I can't wait to bring it back to my English teacher and just slap it on his knee. Just go, dare. So that. And then I'm doing a British tour, like all over from October onwards. In September, I'm going to India to do gigs. Oh, and we're doing another series of Wild Things, which is on Sky, which is that.
It's a great show.
It's like, it's a knockout with animals.
Yeah.
People dressed up,
people
as,
dressed
animals.
Up as animals.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Why is that animal rights people ringing in? What? An Alsatian on a spinny wheel. Where we throw foam at them.
Right, well, we got to go and get ready because we're on tonight.
Yes.
At the Fringe, so thanks
for
the advice.
Are you going to be decked out like you always are? You always look lovely.
Well, Arlene will.
Might have to put on effort. It takes longer every year.
Arlene, you look great when you're out there. It's brilliant.
And I'm probably just going to wear shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. You're allowed to do that because men are. It's not fair, is it?
It's not, is it?
It doesn't matter. No. And then let's say if I came in dressed the same as you, you'd go, hey,
we're dressed the same.
Suicidal if someone turned up wearing the same as me.
Yeah. It would be a good thing. Listen, it's been great having you on. Best of luck with the Fringe run.
Cheers.
It's Jason Byrne. Jason.
Thanks, Bart.
Thank you.
Thanks.